Screen Diva's Heart Wildlife. Who can resist all those videos and images of adorable baby animals? But sometimes these adorable creatures really need our help. Let's celebrate wild animals, learn about them, and do what we can to help them. All right. Well, it's been a while since I had a chance to speak to this awesome green dude, John Platt, who is a journalist, an environmental journalist. You know, and he's been reporting on, among other things, endangered species. And he's been doing a series for Scientific American called Extinction Countdown. And, you know, there's just a lot to be concerned about. But it's probably not a horrible news. I mean, there are – please, John, tell me that there are some victories maybe.
Oh, no, there's not a single victory out there. No, that's not true at all. There are actually a lot of wildlife victories and a lot of endangered species victories, and that's the interesting thing about this beat. You know, I'll write about a species going extinct, but you've got people out there – that are doing fantastic jobs, either helping entire species or at least small subsets, populations of them, to thrive, or maybe even just so we can learn enough about them to help keep them going in the future. It's a wide-ranging field, and I never know what is coming down the pike.
Yeah. So now, I looked at your most recent stories, and there were three in a row about tigers. And I know there had been some seemingly good news about tigers, but why don't you kind of give us a little, you know, background on what that's all about?
Sure. Well, most people probably don't realize that tigers are endangered, if not critically endangered. For years now, conservationists have been using a single number to talk about tiger populations in the wild, and they've been saying that there were about 3,200. Now, a few weeks ago, the World Wildlife Fund came out with a new number, about 3,800.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the question has come up, is that an increase? Is it good news? And it's yes and no.
Okay.
Part of the new number comes from the fact that we're just now slightly better at counting tigers. Because these are, you know, they're big, but they like to hide.
Yeah.
They're out there in the jungle. They're hard to count. They're hard to see. They're camouflaged. So we've gotten better at estimating their numbers. That's part of it. And yes, in some regions, tiger populations are increasing a little bit. But, you know, with the better ability to count, we realize that some areas have less than we thought they did. Bangladesh used to be estimated to have over 400 tigers. Now it's estimated at just 100. That doesn't mean they lost 300. It means they were counting them wrong in the first place.
Okay.
But the other problem is that tiger poaching is still rampant.
Yeah.
In so far this year in India, there have been more tigers poached than in all of last year. And there are so many being killed that even if the numbers are stable or increasing or whatever the case might be, it's unsustainable. Tiger populations cannot withstand the number that they're losing, combined with the amount of habitat that they're losing through development and habitat destruction, et cetera.
So what is the consumer demand? What do people want from tigers, really? Come on.
Yeah. Well, it's all based out of Asia, and you've got multiple things going on. You've got the luxury market for their skins. But most importantly, you've got the desire to turn their body parts, their claws, their bones, their whiskers, et cetera, into so-called traditional Asian medicines.
Right.
And, you know, that might be in a lot of different ways, but one of the ways that I see a lot is called tiger bone wine. They take the bones of a tiger, they steep it in rice wine for weeks or months, and they sell it for thousands of dollars a bottle. And as I've reported, people in China are actually buying these things, not as much to use them, but to put them on a shelf as an investment in the hopes that tigers go extinct and that their bottle of gold is going to be worth more because there's nothing left out there.
That's insane. Seriously.
Yeah, you could say that.
So disturbing. And then you said something about whiskers. What on earth did they do with the whiskers of a tiger?
Well, they grind things up. They put them in medicines that can supposedly cure all kinds of things. I won't even bother mentioning what they are because they're bunk.
It's snake oil.
It's not proven by medical science at all.
Okay, so that's extremely disturbing on all levels. The idea that people will just be, they're kind of hedging their bets. They're betting against the tiger.
Yeah, they are.
Oh man! All right, that's all right. So, how do we shift that cultural? I mean, I don't know enough about it, but how does one kind of shift that cultural demand?
Well, part of it is education.
Yeah.
You just try to find out who those end consumers are and convince them this is not good. This is not sustainable.
Cut it out.
Part of it starts right here in the U.S.
Okay.
There are an unknown number of tigers living in people's backyards, in their houses, on private reserves that are just uncounted. And some people estimate there's as many as 5,000. And these are unregulated tigers for the most part. The U.S. just closed down a number of loopholes about this, which is going to help.
That was one of the articles I read, that there may be more tigers that don't have like specific breeding papers, but more tigers here in captivity than there are actually in the wild?
That's absolutely true. And one of the weird things is not only do we not know where all these tigers are, we don't know what happens to them when they die. So are they contributing to this Asian medicinal market? It's quite likely.
You mean we have like tiger farms?
Well, we don't have tiger farms in the U.S. We have tiger breeders, that's for sure. But China does have several very large tiger farms, estimated as many as 10,000 tigers that are raised in horrid conditions with the just sheer expectation that eventually maybe there's going to be a wider legal market for these products. And there's a lot of people pushing for that. And the thing about Asian culture is that if you take something from the wild, it has more value than something that was raised in captivity on a farm or whatever. Right. So even though they've got all these captive tigers that can do that, that stimulates demand for the wild tigers, which puts yet even more pressure on them, and that's what's stimulating this increase in poaching.
Big education, because I really, I'm semi-educated, and I really didn't know this was such a huge issue.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of studies that point to, I mean, let's say you see a commercial with a tiger or a nature special.
Yeah.
You know, you see this healthy animal, whether it's in the wild or semi-wild or jumping in a commercial. So therefore you think, well, I just saw a healthy tiger, therefore all tigers are healthy.
Yeah.
And you see this across species. You see it with chimpanzees and other things where people have the perception because they've just seen something vaguely happy that everything's happy in the wild. And unfortunately, that's not always the case. So you have to break down through those barriers and get people to understand the trouble.
Okay. Well, you're doing your part, to be sure.
I am.
And I'm really glad that you are able to take some time and talk to us and help us get our audience out there educating themselves and everyone they know, because this is not okay.
Well, I'm happy to do it. And, yes, it sounds bleak, but the more people know, the better we are, better chances we have of fixing it.
Well, thank you for staying on these topics and reporting them for us, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon, John.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Green Divas Heart Wildlife. Please visit thegreendivas.com, that's T-H-E, greendivas.com, to learn more about wildlife, nature, and a whole lot more.